to the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.tv radio, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.tv radio listeners. Thank you for joining us. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is February 19th, 2018, and it is 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. It's gray and cold outside as usual. It's the land of the gray until May here. So thank you for joining us. I'm very excited about having a new guest with us. On the air with us are Paula Brown, and she is the president of an issue that most of us aren't really aware that is going on, but she's the president of
it's
called America for Homeopathy Choice.
Yes, Americans for Homeopathy Choice.
Thank you. Our website is mm-hmm. homeopathychoice.org.
That's right.
And so we're going to be discussing why this matters right this second. So thank you for joining us, Paula. I really appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a very time-sensitive issue, so I really appreciate you squeezing me into your show today. Thank you.
Really? Well, thank you so much. Well, first off, let's kind of briefly review what is homeopathy, and then if you don't mind, sort of run into why it's urgent now.
Okay, yeah, so that's true. A lot of people, when they hear the word homeopathy, they might think that we're talking about home remedies or, you know, just a blanket term for natural medicine. But homeopathy is actually a specific paradigm within natural medicine. And it is commonly found in health food stores. And you've probably seen this. So if you go to like your local Whole Foods or whatever, you'll see a case of, you know, little blue boron remedies. And they look like little chapstick tubes. But if you shake them, you can hear the little pellets inside of it. And so homeopathy utilizes, you know, ultra diluted substances that after they're prepared into a homeopathic remedy, they become completely non-toxic. So let me give you a quick example to help you understand. And also homeopathy uses the principle of like heals like, right? And so let me give you a quick example of what that means, like heals like.
The idea of the flu shot?
Well, it's in homeopathy, it's actually very different because a flu shot uses, you know, material substances, right, to inoculate the illness. But in homeopathy, we use an ultra diluted substance that is completely non-toxic. And in actuality, the flu is more of isopathy, where it's the exact thing that you're trying to cure yourself from. You know, it's kind of like exact heals exact. And in homeopathy, it's more like heals like. So here's my example. Let's think of an onion. Okay, imagine cutting an onion, or even more, biting into an onion. You bite into it, your nose is probably going to run, and it's not going to be a green, thick mucus. It's going to be like an egg white, runny nose, typically. Your eyes will water, your nose might itch, your eyes will probably burn, and you'll want to rub them. So let's think of a situation where that happens, an illness or a condition. So we have seasonal allergies. If your seasonal allergies result in very watery, runny eyes, egg white, runny nose, the homeopathic preparation of onion could be a good match for that condition, or even a cold where it's egg white, runny nose, watery eyes. So what they do is they take the homeopathic version of onion. We use the Latin names, Allium Sepa, because homeopathy is 200 years old, and in those days, Latin was the common language, the universal language. And so you'll get Allium Sepa, and the FDA actually regulates homeopathy, so it's not the same as herbs and supplements where the FDA doesn't regulate them. Homeopathics are regulated by the FDA, and so a homeopathic pharmacy will take these substances like onion and prepare them and dilute them in a very specific pharmacological manufacturing process to dilute it down to the point where it is completely non-toxic. And I think the hard thing for skeptics to appreciate about homeopathy is when you've taken that crude substance, you know, in this case, my example is onion, when you've taken it and you've diluted it down into a homeopathic remedy, it actually, chemically speaking, is pure water, okay? But what's really neat now, today, in our modern day, with our ability to study nanomolecular particles, they're seeing that at a nanomolecular level, there are those, you know, onion traces in there, and that is stimulating your body's ability to heal as long as you're matching the symptoms similar enough, okay? But that's kind of the hard thing for people to kind of get past for many, many years, is that this is water, chemically speaking. But today it's so cool that we can even substantiate that claim and say, you know, there's nanoparticles. So that's homeopathy in a nutshell. A very quick crash course.
That's pretty interesting. Well, let me just get, I mean, I think I've told this to my listeners a couple times. I actually used homeopathy when I entered into menopause in my early 50s. I'm 62 now. Mm-hmm. I, for a very brief period of time, 2 weeks actually, I was starting to get hot flashes and irrational and crying. I mean, I was an emotional upset in that time in my life anyways, but I was having severe hot flashes and just real bad menopausal experiences. I went to the health food store and myself, I just body tested homeopathic remedies until there was two of them. I looked in the book because, you know, when you go to a health food store, they are not allowed to tell you what to buy. So they hand you the book and say, you can figure out what you think will work for you, but we can't give you advice. So I went in there and I actually had somebody, I don't know if people know about this, but you can body test. I had them help me
like
body
muscle test.
Muscle testing. And there was two remedies that the book recommended. One was very strong. One was weak. Times 6 times 30. I ended up taking the times 6 tablet. It was those little bottles, exactly like you described it. Little bottles, and it said take 3 tablets a day. Well, I took them every time I got a hot flash or something that where I knew it was my menopause. Mm-hmm. And that was like 3-4 times a day, right? It was more than just once a day like the bottle recommended. But I took them every time because I called my kinesiologist and said, how often do I take it? He said, every time you get a symptom, take it. So I would put these little tablets under my tongue and let them dissolve. I am not kidding. Within 2 weeks, I had no more menopausal symptoms. I went through menopause sliding. Like, it was really unbelievable. And still to this day, I have no postmenopausal symptoms.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I love that story. Great story.
But it works. It is something that women can do. And I share my story with women because it's the one thing people feel like they can't do anything about, but it's untrue. You don't have to spend half, you know, your elderly years for the 15 years, because it takes about 15 years for your body to adjust to that part of your life. So anyways, get back, because I just want to share personal experience on how that works.
Yeah, and I think that's a really great story. I think that is one of the main reasons why homeopathy has persisted, because, you know, today the marketing and advertising of homeopathy is very vilified, I think, in the in the allopathic or conventional market, you know, and the reason homeopathy has persisted for time and again over 200 years is because it works and people rave about it when they have their success stories and they tell their friends. And I have to say, word of mouth is really one of the only reasons homeopathy has persisted and survived. I've had a similar journey into homeopathy where I was actually suffering from not menopause, but an autoimmune disease. It was a bladder disease where my bladder would bleed internally. Super fun, right? And for you nerds out there who want to know what it was called, it was interstitial cystitis. And yeah, I mean, we tried a, you know, my doctor, I mean, this is horrifying. I went to my doctor and she says, okay, well, here's a few treatments we can give you. We can give you this little blue pill that might make your hair fall out. And I'm originally from Brazil. I have nice, thick, beautiful hair. And I was like, pass. I don't want to do that. And she's like, okay, well, then we could also consider, you know, cutting the nerve to your bladder. And I thought, well, how will I know when to pee? She's like, well, you pee on a schedule. Okay, well, what if I get a UTI? Well, you'll know you have a UTI because it'll get to your kidneys, your back will hurt, and you'll get a fever because you're basically going sepsis. I mean, that wasn't exactly her wording, but that's what she was telling me essentially. And I mean, the other option was, or you can take these painkillers, but you have to join a support group for the forthcoming addiction.
Oh my God.
I know. And especially today, like we're all very well aware of the opiate addiction that is, you know, widespread in the United States and this big problem it is. And I looked at her and she was a really sweet doctor. I really actually quite liked her. And I looked at her, but I was offended by, you know, I felt like she was writing my obituary right there as I'm sitting at her desk. And I said, I'm sorry, this is ludicrous. Like I can't even fathom doing any of these. And this woman, she reached across her desk and held my hand and she says, then you'll do it right. You'll find a better way.
Wow.
And I just, yeah, good for her. Like how empowering was that? I was 25, just had my second baby. And so I did, I started searching and searching and I tried a lot of wonderful things, you know, lots of muscle testing for different modalities that have helped many people, but nothing helped me until I found homeopathy.
Oh. So why is this urgent? Why are we talking about this right now? Why don't you explain to our audience like, and what we ought to be doing? Because, you know, the government has never really quite accepted it. It's always been, you know, I know that it's a few years ago, I had heard some rumblings about the Highlands teething tablets, which are in every grocery store, which helps babies with their teething tablets. Mm-hmm. But I've never heard of anybody dying or getting sick. But right now, they want to rework what is called the CPG 400.400. Why don't you explain what that is?
Yeah, I feel like you brought up like three really important things. So let me start at the beginning of that and I'll get to the CPG real quick. But first of all, you're right. The FDA is targeting and creating actions around homeopathy. I think it's really important for us to understand what the FDA is and is not doing, because there's a lot of blanket statements people are making out there. The FDA is trying to take away homeopathy. And the problem with that is that literally that's not exactly what they're doing. And if we make that statement, it actually weakens our position, because the FDA can simply rebuttal, no, we're not trying to take away homeopathy. Discussion over, we lose. So it's very important to get our wording right. And you hit the nail on the head when you brought up the CPG 400. They are positioning themselves in a way that could most definitely have repercussions on our freedom to use homeopathy. So the key word is they're positioning themselves to be able to create actions on homeopathy. And like you said, it's the compliance policy guide, section 400.400, okay? So let me explain what this document is for you to appreciate why it's important that we keep it. So the compliance policy guide, section 400.400, the CPG, was written in 1988, and it's been a document that has been mutually beneficial for both the FDA and the homeopathic manufacturing industry, okay? So what the CPG did is it standardized the production of homeopathy in a way that has, so like when you go to the store and you pick up Arnica Montana 200, you have that assurance that it's been regulated and you actually have in your hand Arnica Montana 200, okay? You know, I have a friend of mine, Joette Calabrese, who is a homeopath. She has traveled to India, and she says, you know, it's really hit or miss in India where you buy your homeopathic remedies from, if the quality is actually really good. And so it's nice to have the FDA regulate and standardize the making of this remedy, and really for the it's been evidenced in the last 30 years that has been a successful process. Okay, so great. But now what's going on is, and then in turn it's benefited the homeopathic industry, because the homeopathic industry knows exactly what the FDA expects from them. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They know exactly how the FDA wants them to produce these remedies. So it's been mutually beneficial. Okay, but here's the problem now. The FDA, in 2015, 2 years ago, they said, all right, look, the CPG 400.400, it's been in place for 30 years. It's been a good document, but it hasn't been updated. It needs some updates. So what they did is they brought in the entire homeopathic industry, you know, the key players in the U.S., and they even the homeopathic industry even flew in some people internationally. So they brought in, for example, Peter Fisher, who is the Queen of England's homeopathic doctor, and they flew him in. And then what happened? They gave testimony and suggested a lot of different updates they could provide to the CPG 400.400. Okay, so 2 years later, instead of saying, yeah, we're going to take into account all of this feedback and apply these updates to the CPG, instead, the FDA says, no, we're going to dump the whole thing in the trash and start from scratch.
What? Say that again?
So the FDA said, instead of taking, you know, making these updates to the CPG 400.400 that was suggested 2 years ago, instead of updating it, they're going to take the entire CPG 400.400 that has been effective for 30 years. They're going to take that whole thing and trash it and start from scratch on different guidelines.
So they did review it. They updated it.
Nope, they reviewed it. They didn't update it, and instead, they're going to trash it.
And what was happening? So basically, they primed the pump for it to be destroyed when an administration came in that actually had the nerve to just come in and throw the whole thing out.
I mean, it's very concerning, because this document has proven itself as effective for 30 years, and there's no reason why they need to do that. But you brought up the Highlands teething tablets, right? Because people are, you know, there's been some controversy around the Highlands teething tablets. And I think that's like their scapegoat. That's the reason.
But no children died from anything that I've ever read. There was never children that died from the Highlands teething tablet, right?
Okay, so the evidence, quote unquote, and pick up on my sarcasm here, the evidence that was cited about these teething tablets being dangerous, the evidence was so weak that it reaches the point of being non-existent. Okay, so yeah, you're right. The evidence is very weak. So let me set aside my doubts on the accuracy of the FDA claims. Okay, so like I'm going to set aside the fact that there was no clear causation. All right, no attribution of pre-existing conditions. Like one person who supposedly died from the teething tablets was a 300-pound man who was on a lot of drugs. Okay, but somehow, first of all, why is he taking a teething tablet? You're a grown-up. And he's on all these. So let me set aside that there was no clear causation, no attribution of pre-existing conditions, no consideration of any other medical conditions or medications they were on. And let me set aside the fact that the FDA never even pulled Highlands teething tablets from the market, okay? Highlands voluntarily pulled their product because of the controversy, but the FDA never forcibly pulled this off the market. Okay, so let me set, so which would, if they had, then maybe there was a problem, but they didn't even do that. Okay, so let me set all of that aside. Instead, I ask myself, why are we using this very one narrow event on one specific product as the excuse to pull the entire CPG section 400.400, which applies to all of homeopathy? I mean, like in conventional drugs, when they have a problem with one drug, they don't just rework the entire guiding document for all of conventional drugs. It's stupid.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll just give you my opinion. This is my opinion, and I don't know. I don't want to offend your supporters, but it's probably part of the omission that they're on. You know, we talk about the omissions that are happening. The real omission that Trump has been on since day one is to remove everything that Obama did. So if Obama reviewed this and did nothing with it, that's why they're throwing it out. They're ignoring the review that was done, and instead of compiling new guidelines, they're like, oh, we're just going to throw it all out, because they did have hearings, they did have everything they needed to have, but they don't want anything that touches Obama. Their fingers are afraid of black people. I'm just going to say that in my opinion, it reeks of the omission that they're on.
Well, that's exactly why our organization's mission is to, we do not think the FDA is listening. We don't think that, we don't trust them to, you know, because right now there's a comment period that's open through March 15th. And right, and we're going over their head as an organization. We're wanting to go to Congress, and it's bipartisan. We have talked to last week to senators and congressmen, both Republican and Democrat, and they're both sides of the aisle is interested in helping us with this. You know, natural medicine is something that has benefited all people, who regardless of where their party lines are.
Yes.
You know, and so I agree with you. Like, we do need to go over the FDA's head and get Congress to check them and to put them in their place. You
How
know?
Much money did we spend on that review, by the way? Do you know?
Well, I'm sorry, which review?
On the review of the CPG 400-400.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know how much the homeopathic industry spent.
Because that would be a really good tool to use with Congress and say, look, we spent X amount of dollars reviewing this. There's no way we should throw out, you know, we don't need to start over. We don't need to we don't need to start remaking this all over. But I mean, this is them, the imprint, this is their opportunity to really throw out homeopathy and force only pharmaceuticals in this nation.
Right. And technically throwing the CPG, because the FDA is technically saying, well, we're not going to, this is the thing, this is a really great point. The FDA is saying, well, we're throwing out the CPG, but we're actually not going to get rid of a lot of homeopathic remedies in this process. We're just going to reexamine a few that are concerning to us, which I'll talk about in a minute, but we're not going to get rid of very many homeopathy remedies. And so, okay, so if you're going to keep most of the homeopathic medicine on the market, then you have to provide the compliance policy guide 400.400. Without that, we don't know exactly how you want us to produce this. So the FDA, it's like they're in, to me, it appears, it's very suspicious that they want the homeopathic manufacturers to get in a position where they can possibly make mistakes, because pulling out the compliance policy guides leaves the industry kind of confused on what's expected of them. We have to read the FDA's mind, and we're subject to their arbitrary enforcement actions, you know, however they interpreted the new guidelines. And so I feel that they want the homeopathic market to be poised to make it possibly make a mistake, because then when they start making mistakes, the FDA can say, oh, you guys are making a lot of mistakes. Now we really need to regulate you, when they created the problem in the first place. Do you see what I'm saying?
So
really, it's a game of chess, and the FDA is moving into checkmate, and we have to nip that in the bud. And we can still stop that, and we need to.
Yes. And so what do you suggest that people do?
Well, right now, if you go to our website, homeopathychoice.org, you will see that we have, you know, our first step is to contact the president. Listen, love or hate President Trump, I don't care. He is in the position to check his appointee of the FDA, Scott Gottlieb. And I like to believe, you know, Melania, his wife, is from Europe. Homeopathy is very strong in Europe, and she has to have used some homeopathic remedies. So that's our first step, is to contact the president and ask him to check Scott Gottlieb. I think that's a good move. But then our second step is, we have a form letter that you can copy and paste. I mean, we have a form letter that you can copy and paste and send to the president. But we also have a form letter you can copy and paste and send to Congress, because our organization is going to be in Washington next week. I leave this Sunday. Okay. And we have appointments with these senators and these congressmen. And they're saying to us, the most important thing you can do right now leading up to this appointment is to get our constituents to send us letters about this. Because if we know our constituents care about this, because they want to help us. They want to help us, but without those letters, they really can't do that.
So does an email, the email contact, that's considered a letter?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Email contact. So visit homeopathychoice.org, blast your email to Trump, and then go to the next step and find the letter. You know, it's right there. Copy and paste the letter. We've worked together with the industry, the American Association of Homeopathic Pharmacists. We're using their letter. Copy and paste that letter. And then we have the link where you can enter your zip code and identify who your congressmen and senators are. So just blast it off. It really doesn't take more than 5 or 8 minutes. I mean, we've made it so easy for you to do that. But, you know, I have to say, Lonnie, that the concerning thing is it's not just what the FDA is doing, but it's that they've demonstrated prejudice about homeopathy. They've demonstrated that hold prejudice against homeopathy, and that's what's concerning to me.
Well, they sort of demonstrate prejudice in lots of areas.
Let's
just be clear. They've demonstrated, and a complete disregard for people's health. What's interesting about homeopathy, especially in the age of fission, is we are really literally responsible for our own health.
Yeah.
Our medical conditions are under assault. Our children's DNA is under assault. So, you know, we like autoimmune deficiencies. Every time I hear something like that, the first thing that clicks in my head now after understanding how the nuclear industry affects our bodies, mm-hmm. I always wonder, were you born? When were you exposed to radioactivity? Because it causes autoimmune deficiency diseases, right?
It's true.
So
that's right.
It's imperative that we figure out solutions so that in this country, we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
And then modifying this, if they throw the whole thing out, what will they have? And that's just an inch away from taking homeopathy and non-pharmaceutical choices. That's really what they want to do, is they want us all on pharmaceuticals. They don't want us to have any opportunity to heal ourselves outside of the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, what's happening is a medical cleansing. Now, we've heard the term, you know, ethnic cleansing. But what I am seeing right now, not just in the United States, but, you know, in other countries is a medical cleansing of homeopathy. They're trying to clean the market of this ideology, of the science, because it is scientific, and of these ideas that go against the conventional allopathic method. And we have to stop that medical cleansing from happening. And so, you know, I'm actually not a health practitioner. I'm a mom, okay? I'm a mother. And mothers in particular, we take great issue with the FDA's actions against homeopathy. And I want to give you an example. You know, I don't want to just say the FDA is prejudiced. I know your listeners are probably very savvy and they get that, but I like to show people how the FDA has demonstrated this prejudice. So let me give you a quote here. The FDA said in their draft guidance where they announced this information about the CPG 400.400, they say this, quote, "People may be placing their trust and money in therapies that may bring little to no benefit." And quote, "The FDA has the responsibility to protect the public from products that may not deliver any benefit." Okay, so let me give you a mother's perspective on that statement. The FDA thinks we are too stupid to be able to decide whether or not a remedy works, okay? But the ironic thing is, Lonnie, is that in general, mothers who use homeopathy are highly educated. So I speak 3 languages. I have a master's degree. And most moms who use this medicine are well-educated individuals, okay? So right here, I'm holding in my hand right now my favorite homeopathic remedy kit. It holds 100 remedies in this neat little box. It's the Washington Homeopathics brand. And it takes a lot of work and learning to understand how to use homeopathy. And mothers who use homeopathy, they are dedicated to putting in that time, effort, and energy to learn this medicine. And so they're best suited to evaluate the products for their families. And listen, if you're a mom and you don't know what homeopathy is exactly, join in and learn this. But the FDA should not regulate our ability to determine whether or not homeopathy is right for a family. But that's exactly what they're saying in black and white on their draft guidance. You know, that they have the responsibility to protect the public, this is that quote, from products that may not deliver any benefit. So this is an issue of health freedom. It really is.
Yeah, the issue of health freedom is really what it's about. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the frustrating. I mean, do you think that if we contact our elected officials, I don't have any faith that Trump's office will even pay any attention to this.
Here's the thing, Lonnie. I really believe that mothers in the United States have a powerful voice. So I really believe that when we rise up, I don't want to say the word scares, but we have a formidable voice. I mean, think about, you know, all those mom-based organizations that have created a change, regardless of who or what administration likes or dislikes. We have a power and a voice, and if we find that power and band together and write those letters, when I show up to that person's office, trust me, they will hear what I have to say. And I represent this organization. You know, Americans for Homeopathy Choice is really about anyone, but we're 98% moms. So I really do. I think,
well, because it's the moms who give the medicine. Let's be clear, it's the moms who take care of the kids. That's why. And I'm frankly, like you said, you were a college professor for a long, long time. You know, the thing is, we're still mothers. We're professionals, but we're still mothers. So think right. of when people think, oh, yeah, moms, like the moms, the women in St. Louis.
Well, there's Moms Against Drunk Driving. There's the Thinking Moms Revolution. There's Moms Across America. There's all these different great
Well,
groups.
Just the Moms STL, you know, the women of St. Louis who have banded together to demand that the FDA stop the spewing of nuclear contamination on St. Louis, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a powerful, powerful voice. And I agree that women do need to, we should be banding together. But frankly, this is not just a women's issue, this thing about homeopathy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
This is about really medical freedom.
That's
it's
right.
not about do you use homeopathy or not use homeopathy. It's about the option. And it's about them throwing away a real long-term proven program that works, like the professional, it's called professional guidelines for a reason, right? The CPG.
Yep. Compliance policy guidelines. Yes.
Compliance policy mm-hmm. guidelines. That's what I mean. It was a compliance policy. These are guidelines that have worked for a long time. These are things that have worked for a long time. And they just went through a review. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what probably happened was that review showed that they're working really well. That's why they want to throw it out, because they don't want to have to look at, do we know what the results of that review was? Do we have any idea? Have we gotten any FOIA requests on what was that all about?
I'm sorry, you mean what exactly about?
You know, in 2015, when they did that review, is that a review available?
Sure, it's been available on the FDA's website for a long time, and you can even hear the entire hearing and the proceedings. But recently, the recorded version was pulled off. But now you can, I believe, you can still find the transcripts. But here's the thing: like we really do have to get into the FDA's head to understand what they're trying to do. Like, what's their angle here? And so you have to understand the FDA regulates to the lowest common denominator, okay, of the consumer population, meaning they don't regulate to like the educated mom. You know, I said just a minute ago that women who use homeopathy are generally well educated, right? They don't regulate to that. Instead, they regulate to kind of the dumbest potential person in the crowd, right? But the result is, Lonnie, that the entire market gets dumbed down to the most vulnerable individual. So this enables the public to get stupider and stupider. Okay, so the FDA, you know, when we talk about freedom of choice, which is what you're talking about, basically the FDA is sacrificing the power of the consumer to use and learn homeopathy under the guise of protection. So the FDA is literally disempowering us. They're infantiling the consumer. They deprive us of our own choices because they think some people are too dumb, and that's not right. You know, under the guise of protection, they should not take away our freedoms and our choices, because we can decide and we can evaluate. So I can just hear the FDA saying to me, Lonnie, I can hear and say, well, Mom, not everyone has had the opportunity to go to school. Not everyone is educated. And my response is, you know what? You don't need a college education to be a smart person. That's given true. The chance, people are smart enough to figure this out. This, my dad is a great example of this. Today he has an MBA and he's well educated, but he grew up very poor in Brazil, living in near slum conditions. And his family used homeopathy safely and successfully because homeopathy is non-toxic. It's a safe system of medicine. And in India, 100 million people of all different backgrounds use homeopathy as their exclusive form of medicine. And it is still very widely used in Europe and the UK, even, like I said, by the royal family in England. So in this information age, people from all over are learning about the powerful non-toxic healing means through homeopathy. So the FDA should not disempower our ability to use homeopathy under the guise of protection. It's not worth it. And we cannot let stuff like that happen.
So the first call of action is to go to your website, send the president a letter. Now, yep, does it pop up? Okay, so is it one of those things where you click on the link and it already has the letter written, or do we have to rewrite it?
No, you click on the contact the president button, and then we have click here for the letter, copy paste, click here to email him. It takes you to his website where you have to like enter your name and your zip code or whatever, and then you send it on in. And then it's the same kind of a process for contacting your congressman. We have the letter there, just copy and paste, and then we have the link where you can just identify your, you know, because you have to enter your zip code, because your congressmen have to be in your direct area, and then your senator is just, as long as you're in his state, you can contact them. And so that's what we're trying to do. And you know, it really is about our freedom to choose. There's this quote here that I have, you know, you may not use homeopathy as much as my family uses it, for example, but there's that quote, you know, by Martin, I can't pronounce his name, Niemöller, but you've heard it before. You know, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one there left for me to speak. So by protecting homeopathy, by rising up and finding your power and trying to defend homeopathy, you are essentially helping protect all of natural medicine, because this sets precedence. What they can do to one part of the natural industry, the alternative health industry, they can do to other parts. And we need to show the FDA that we want this and we don't need you to touch it. I like it that it's regulated. I like it that when I pick up Arnica 200, I you know, feel good that that's Arnica 200, but I don't need you to get inside my head and decide if I'm smart enough to figure this out.
Yeah. Well, for those of us who don't know, Arnica is a pretty widely used source of homeopathy for
bumps, bruises.
Yeah, pains. If you hurt yourself, you get a bruise or you bump, you take it. And actually, it really does help. Seriously. You know, I have to say, this is how indoctrinated I am. As I said, I'm 62, so it was pretty heavily embedded in me by the time I found it in my early 40s, was the, every time I use it, I'm always shocked that it works so well. Every time I use it, every time I've ever picked up a remedy and I start taking it, I'm always like, wow, this is so great. Like, I had no idea with the menopause tablets that it would actually make my menopause go away 100%. I thought I'd have to be taking it for the next 10 or 15 years. Literally within 2 weeks, it was completely gone.
And that's the thing, you know, people are asking me, so if this document, this CPG 400.400 has been mutually beneficial, it hasn't just benefited the homeopathic industry, it's benefited the FDA, why are they doing this? Why would they want to do this? And you said it right now, you only had to take homeopathy for 2 weeks. So let's think about this. I was diagnosed with that autoimmune condition, interstitial cystitis, and a few others, mind you, I just talked about that one, 12 years ago, okay? I was diagnosed that 12 years ago, And instead of doing all those drugs for 12 years, and you know, when you take one drug, it begets another drug and you're on five, right? So instead of doing all those drugs, instead of getting all those procedures that were offered to me, instead of the medical devices, instead of doing all those treatments and those doctor visits for 12 years, think about how much that I could have donated to the you know, pharmaceutical industry. Instead of doing all of that, I used, you know, a few remedies. One of them in particular was Cantharis. It's a wonderful bladder condition remedy. If you have burning, UTI, urgency, all the, you know, those are the symptoms that match. That cost me $8. Okay, that one remedy. And guess what? I did it for about a year on and off as I was healing. And I'm not a practitioner. I can say I was cured. And after that year, I was cured. And I'm done. So the homeopathic industry in the United States is a $3 billion industry, which doesn't seem like a not lot. It feels like a drop in the bucket when you compare it to the, you know, billions and billions that the pharmaceutical industry makes. But on the scale, that $3 billion, for every $1 spent on homeopathy, it could have been multiples in the pharmaceutical industry. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, that is, well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the C word. The FDA, I mean, the AMA does not like the C word. They do not like cures. They want people on their feed. You know, they hook people into their IV and that's it for life, you know.
Right, right. And I have to be like reasonable. Like, I don't believe every single person in the FDA hates homeopathy, but I do think that as a whole, they think homeopathy is a big sham. It's a big joke, and they have to protect the consumer from like, you know, I can see them thinking like, we don't want people to use homeopathy when they should actually be seeking real medical care. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of what's going through their head. And my response is, okay, look, just because you epitomize a different system of medicine, it doesn't mean you should force me into that system of medicine. Even if you think this is a dumb choice to use homeopathy, it doesn't matter. I should still have the right to choose what you think is dumb. I have that right. If you don't want to use homeopathy when you get, you know, like strep throat or UTI, you can pump yourself with as many antibiotics and take all the vaccines you want and do everything you want with your body. That is your right. I will stand beside your right to make that choice. But when I get sick, I also have a right to make that determination for me and my family.
Maybe this is the underlying core, too. We're talking about the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, right? And maybe I'm just showing my ignorance here, but as my listeners know, I do that often because I want to get to the answers. I'm just going to ask a question. Does the FDA regulate all the drugs that we take?
I mean, as far as I know, yeah.
So they take all the pharmaceutical drugs,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're the one regulating. See, in my opinion, our medical doctors ought to have the full range of training. Our doctors, in my view, are minimally medically educated because they cannot prescribe you herbs. They cannot prescribe you homeopathy. They can only prescribe you.
So that's the interesting thing. I believe that a medical practitioner can prescribe homeopathic medicines before the CPG 400.400, technically. That's the only way you could get homeopathic medicine. So that's why homeopathy is really interesting. It falls into this gray area where it's natural medicine, but it is totally FDA regulated like a drug. It is. Oh. Now, herbs are not, and that's why we're having this trouble. You see, let me tell you the story of the FDA. This is kind of an interesting little tidbit. The FDA, when it was established, one of the founding senators, Senator Copeland, I think he was from New York, I might be wrong, he was a homeopath. He was a medical doctor and a homeopath. And you remember that flu of 1918? It killed a lot of people in the United States. Well, he had a lot of success. The homeopaths, they saved the majority of people that they treated with the flu from 1918 survived. I mean, it was in the high 90s, right? And so he received a lot of attention for this type of medicine that saved a lot of people during that flu, okay? And it put him into a position where then when the FDA was establishing the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, he included homeopathy there alongside the conventional drugs. So we have the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, and that's the pharmacopoeia book of all the drugs, the allopathic conventional drugs. And under the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, we also have the homeopathic pharmacopoeia of the United States. Isn't that interesting? So that's why, you know, homeopathy is a little bit unique. It's a little different, legally speaking, from the herbs and the supplements. But you're right. Doctors, by and large, don't know how to use homeopathy. They don't know how to pick a remedy. So
so they don't, they're not trained in it, and so they don't feel comfortable prescribing it. Right. They're like me. They're super dubious about whether it'll work, and then when it works, they're like, wow, that's really amazing.
Well, they're like you and everybody else who has ever fallen in love with homeopathy. I'm sorry. There's few, the number of people who grew up on homeopathy, like my kids are, and will know to love it their whole lives, are going to be few and far between. Most people start off as a healthy skeptic who looks at that and they say, I'm not so sure if this is going to work. And then they take it and they have that experience where they realize it works. But I think the thing is, though, you know, unfortunately, something as simple as being a mom is political today. Do you give your family raw milk? Do you feed them a vegan diet? Do you take your family to McDonald's? I mean, my daughter, we go to church, and she has a little friend from church had a birthday party. And we were invited to go to McDonald's to be at the birthday party. And my husband and I decided, you know, we homeschool our kids already. We don't want our kids to, we want them to have as many opportunities to make friends as possible. And she loves this friend of hers. And so we decided, all right, we'll go to McDonald's. I haven't been into a McDonald's in years, like maybe 10 years. Like, it's been a long time, right? And so I go in, and my friend who's hosting the party, she's getting all the orders from the kids. And she talks to my daughter, and she goes and she gives everyone like their happy meal or whatever. But she comes up to me later and she's like, so Paola, your daughter didn't know what a happy meal is. I know. And I was like, oh yeah, we don't really eat fast food like ever, you know? But my point is, mothering is political. Do you hold out on giving your kids Tylenol when they have a fever and instead hydrate them and trust their body's ability to heal? You know, what diet do they have? All these choices we as moms make are political. They're controversial, okay? But the thing is, the FDA should not step into our homes and tell me how to be a mom. No, thank you. I respectfully decline your offer to help me mother my children.
Kind of interesting how right now because of the tragedy that happened last week, there's huge, over the weekend while I was recuperating, I was in internet conflicts with people because I mean, my opinion is that we ought to ban the AR-15s, right? So then you get into this, you're taking away my rights, and I'm like, well, you know, and so it's this whole thing. People are so nervous about their freedoms, and yet, you know, with this issue about the homeopathy, this is a very big issue if people can't get home. Honestly, I would be shocked if I went to a health food store and was unable to buy a homeopathic remedy. If I had to go, what's their idea about, I mean, we have about 10 minutes left. So if we don't take action, what is the worst case scenario?
Well, they pull the CPG 400.400, and that's the beginning, right? And then the homeopathic industry is now very confused. They don't know exactly what the FDA expects of them. And then the FDA does their inspections and their reviews, and then they start dinging these companies, and they start creating a long laundry list of all these mistakes the industry is making because the industry can't read the FDA's mind, right? So, because they're being arbitrary now. The guideline is not clear. The compliance policy guideline is not clear anymore. So now they're making mistakes, and the FDA makes a laundry list of all the mistakes they're making. They say, you know, we need to regulate this industry. They're going rogue. They're mavericks. They're making all these mistakes. Then now are these new regulations going to be good? I don't care what side of the aisle someone's on. I would much rather use something that is time-tested, proven to benefit the industry and consumers because it's safe than this big fat maybe, right? And so then they start regulating it, and they start regulating. Here's a little example. Something as simple as forcing. So homeopathic medicine, it does not expire, okay? We have seen over and over again, we've used remedies that were made 200 years ago. They still act. And that's because they're not chemical, right? They are nanoparticles, and those nanoparticles we've seen last in excess of 3 years. So something as simple as saying, okay, now we need it. We will force all homeopathic products to carry expiration dates, just like a conventional drug, right? Something as simple as that can really injure the homeopathic industry. So homeopathic products, they don't turn over on the market as quickly as like Tylenol does, right? And so the manufacturers, and there is, this is a small industry. There is only probably 12 homeopathic producing pharmacies in the U.S., okay, it's a tiny little industry. So let's say, for example, the FDA forces these products now to all have an expiration date of like, you know, 9 months or a year or whatever they decide. Okay, first it doesn't need it because we've seen it not expire. But now the store clerk is going to start pulling the products off the shelf, and right. It burdens the manufacturer because it doesn't turn over as quick. Burdens the manufacturer. Now we need to produce way more than we're selling, right, than we're used to. So like, okay, these are the tiny little things that can impact the industry and our right. And so we've already had 3 pharmacies in the U.S. in the last, you know, 5 years pull out of the U.S. market. They're saying it's not worth it to do business in here because what's already been happening in the U.S. has opened the door for predatory lawsuits. I mean, it is not easy. You don't go into the homeopathy industry in the U.S. thinking you're going to make a ton of money and this is going to be an easy way to make money. So they're leaving. They're saying we'd rather be in South America and in Europe and in other countries where homeopathy is, it's easier to have that business here.
Wow. Okay, so this occurred to me actually, and I apologize for not asking you this question when we were talking about the letter writing. Would you suggest that we contact Melania directly and ask her to get engaged in this?
So we tried that at the beginning of our campaign. Melania is well protected. She does not have like an email, a contact Melania email type thing.
There's no email to contact the first lady?
I could be wrong. If you or your listener knows of something, email us at homeopathychoice.org. We have an email form you can send us because I personally check every single email that comes through there. As far as I know, the answer is no. The only way you can get a hold of Melania is through Twitter because she does have a Twitter account as far as I know. So I really do think that she is very open and friendly to natural medicine.
I'm sure she is. I'm sure she is.
So, and I agree with you. Like, that's a great angle. You know, we don't need to be picky about who helps.
I mean, it'd be nice to have the first mom or maybe even Michelle Obama. Maybe we could contact Michelle Obama and,
but at the end of the day, we need Trump to check Scott Gottlieb. And I just don't know how much Michelle would help Trump do that.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. But I mean, she could engage other organizations. You know what I mean? Like get other. Right. And I don't know how pro, if she knows anything about homeopathy herself. The difference between she and Melania is a European.
Right. And you know she's used it.
It's extremely.
So listen, that's funny that you bring Melania up. I have a homeopathy kit exactly like my top 100 remedy kit. I have one with Melania's name on it. And so if you have a listener, which I don't know if your listeners would, but if you have a listener who's listening right now who can get me into the White House, can put me in front of Trump, I have a kit I want to give Melania. Okay, it has her name on it, and I want to gift it to her. And if you can get me into the White House, I will gift you my family's secret soup recipe. So if you can get our organization there, I'm ready to go. I will buy my flight and be at the White House, ready to talk to Trump. And I have this to give Melania to try and get her attention.
Wow, that would be awesome, wouldn't it, to be able to mm-hmm. walk through this? I mean. Yeah. And so what is the time frame? We have about 5 minutes left. What's the time frame on all of this? And what's the actionable times that you want us to work on?
The FDA's allowing us to have a comment period, and it ends around, you know, the 15th. And so, you know, We will be asking people to submit their comments to the FDA closer to that deadline, because if we do it any sooner, I feel like it creates an open door for the skeptics to come out and attack homeopathy, because, you know, when you submit those comments to the FDA, they're made public. And so the people who are against us kind of use that to fuel them. And so we're going to really push for people to, so keep visiting our website and enter your email in our website to get those notifications about this issue. But it does end March 15th. But right now, our focus is to write the president and write your congressman. I'm telling you, I'm leaving Saturday for Capitol Hill. I have appointments with senators and congressmen, and I need more appointments. And seriously, if you can do this today, tonight, just 5 minutes, you can do it on your phone, homeopathychoice.org, click copy and paste the letter, send it to Trump, copy and paste our other letter, which is a little bit different, to our congressman. So, mm-hmm.
Which people are you meeting with, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, we're focusing on individuals who are on the FDA's oversight committee. And again, we're very bipartisan. I don't even know which one's a Republican and which one's a Democrat. I don't even care, you know, but we're focusing on those individuals that are on the oversight committee for the FDA.
Okay, so just those specific committee members.
Yeah, so there's an oversight committee on the Senate that oversees the FDA, and there's an oversight committee on the House.
And are you seeing all of them?
We definitely don't have appointments with all of them. That would be like a freaking dream come true if we did. But we are definitely going to stop by every single one of their offices with information to give them. And then we have appointments that we're building. We made several last week and then more this week. So, you know, we have like about 8 in the pipeline.
Are there any really big important players in that lineup that you think are important? I mean, do you think that the congressional or the Senate side is more influential?
I'll tell you who's very important. I think they're both influential. I'll tell you who's very important is Senator Orrin Hatch. I'm sure if you're in the natural supplement,
yes,
you've heard of the Hatch Act. He's in his last year before he retires, but we're saying, we don't care, Senator Hatch. We'll work you that last year. This could be your big grand finale exit, you know, is when you defended homeopathy. So he's a great person to contact. And actually, the interesting thing about Hatch, Senator Hatch, is that he, on his website, does not require that you be a resident of Utah to send him a letter. So you'll see when you go on our step two, after you contact the president, when you go to step two, you'll see we actually provide his link to send a letter to him, because you don't have to be a Utahn, or whatever they call it, to send him a letter. So yeah, he is definitely a big key player, and he would be on the Senate.
Okay, so we should be contacting, at least for sure, our own senators and Orrin Hatch.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. He's a big one.
Well, let's see how much time we have left. I don't think we have much time. I hope that you will join us again in a few weeks when you come back from Washington.
Yes, great. I would love to schedule it for sure.
Yeah. Well, we have about a minute left. So I want to thank you for being with us. Is there anything that we've left out of this interview that you want people to understand, or a sense of urgency?
Yes. Well, I just want to kind of inspire your listeners to find their power and find their voice. You know, I've been pulling 40 hours a week ever since the day after Christmas, trying to get this done. We're doing our best, but if you could just take that time to send those letters, I know it feels like a drop in the bucket. I know it feels like a drop in the bucket, but we've made it as easy as possible for you to do that. And I cannot tell you how, you know, 5 people, 10 people, 15 people, as those build, that really gives, when I walk into those senators and congressmen's office, I want them to know exactly who homeopathychoice.org is, who Americans for Homeopathy Choice is. And I want you to find your power and defend this part of natural medicine so that we, you know, can have access to all of natural medicine. We want America to be free. We want this country to be a place where we have these choices and we can make these choices. And we need to stop the medical cleansing that is going on, especially in regards to homeopathy. We need to stop that.
Yeah, I think that's extremely imperative. Well, look, I want to thank you for being with us. And I apologize to my listeners for not being totally on. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Thank you for joining us, Paula. We'll be back, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.